Come on, come on, come on. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody good? If you're brand new at church today, we did this last year and had a lot of comments, so we was like, man, we're going to bring it back. So we brought back the hashtags, and I'm hoping that you guys enjoy them. Throughout this series, we'll be doing it every single week, and it'll be a lot of fun. Can't wait for more to happen. Hey, listen, we are starting a new series today on relationships, and we're calling it Relation Slips. How many of you had relation slips in your relationships? You know what I'm talking about. Come on, so we're hoping that by the time we get done with this relationship series, that in all your relationships, that some way, form, or fashion, that they will become stronger, okay? Hey, before we dive in, can we give it up for everybody watching online? We are so glad that you are watching today. I'm hoping and praying that God speaks to you, challenges you, and moves on you no matter where you're at, whether you're at your couch, your coffee table, your wherever you're at, bedroom, I don't care. Hoping God speaks to you. Glad you're watching, okay? Hey, listen, today we're going to tackle the subject of church relationships, okay? So we really believe that church relationships are probably just as important as any relationship in your life, probably besides your marriage and your family, all right? Listen, the reason why we think church relationships are so important is because, you know, the Bible says that if we are believers, that if you are followers of Christ, that we are the family of God, that we have a spiritual father, and the Bible says that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at the person next to you and say, what's up, brother? What's up, sister? Come on, talk to them. Give them a little high five. What's up, sister? How you doing? Listen, I'll be honest with you, I kind of grew up with people like I've heard my whole life, like, what's up, Brother Andy? All right? I'll be honest, it's a little strange for me, a little weird. I kind of like PA better or whatever you want to say. You can call me Andy. Andy is perfect, okay? But I learned in the culture that we live in, which is what we call each other, but most of the time people call each other people brother more than they do sister, so maybe we need to bring sister back. What's up, Sister Susie, all right? So just glad if your name's Susie, I'm talking to you. Listen, so, you know, we are the family of God, and church relationships are gigantic. They are huge. They are important, all right? Why? Because we are a family, and family should be tight-knit. Now, some of you are saying, like, man, you don't know my family. My family's crazy. Well, every family's crazy. I promise you, if you've got a perfect family, then you're the weirdo, okay? Because the rest of us don't. But the thing about it that I know more than anything else is that we have a perfectly heavenly Father that teaches us to love each other. And listen, whenever we have differences, and we will not always agree on everything. When we have differences inside our family, like our immediate family, me and my sisters and my mom, my dad, listen, when we have differences in our family, sometimes we butt heads, but we love each other anyway. And we might fight with each other, but boy, if somebody talks about me to one of my sisters, they're going to hit you in the mouth, all right? They don't like it, and I do the same for them. Not hit you, the right hand of fellowship, maybe just a little soft touch. But here's the big picture, is that, you know, we got each other's back. And it should be even more inside the church. Why? Because we're the family of God. And so one place where we should represent what it looks like to be unified in true relationships, it should be inside the church. So we believe that church relationships are strong. Listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. What was that? Well, I heard something screaming. Listen, obviously, I'm not trying, this is Paul talking to the Galatians, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. He says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people. You know, I believe everybody here, whether you like this or not, including the one standing in front of you, I think at times in our life, we honestly try to win the approval of people. And the way that we honestly reach and try to gain the approval of people is we do it, honestly, not by being ourselves. Honestly, we do it with our mask. You know, I want to talk to you for just a little bit about the mask that a lot of us wear. And the reason why we wear masks in our life is because we want people to not really see us, but really the reason why we wear masks is honestly to gain approval from people. Now listen, you know, a lot of us live our lives in an attempt to win the approval of people. And so we live our lives trying to be accepted by people, and we do this. When we do this, we end up tucking away the real us. We tuck away who God's created us to be. We tuck away the identity, the DNA, the person that God created. Listen, God didn't create us to all be clones. We'll talk more about that in just a second. He created us to be different so that we can be used by Him. And we end up being fake and phony. Now listen, I need you to understand right off the bat. I want to challenge you through this whole entire message to remember this. You need to be real because being fake is incredibly exhausting. You need to be real because being fake is incredibly exhausting. So what I've done today is I've brought some masks for you. We're going to have some. I got an illustrative. I'm going to look really dumb up here, and y'all going to think, like, who is this weirdo? And it's just your pastor. All right? And so I want you leaving here with some thought process. So I brought some masks of what a lot of us hide behind in church, okay? Now, you may be one of these masks. You may be all of these masks. I believe that we're all of them at some time, at some point in our life, some way, form, or fashion. And so let me just show you some of the masks that we are, all right, right off the bat. Here we go. Now listen, a lot of us are the Pharisee religious know-it-all mask at church. We come into church, I know the Bible better than you, I know Jesus better than you, I am greater than you, and because of that, I have the right to be self-righteous. Now, some of you are thinking, like, you look like Duck Dynasty, or you look like the Desperation Church beard, all right? This is not what that is, all right? Now, here's one thing I do know, is it's all in my mouth right now, and I can barely talk, and it smells really bad. And so, the big picture is that there's a lot of people who will wear the religious mask trying to look better than other people. Their thought process is stuff like, it's just not deep enough. I mean, this is just surface, but hang on a second. I'm telling you, it's terrible. Listen. A lot of you think, it's just not deep enough. It's just surface. I need some meat. Like, this is way too much. I mean, this is not enough. Or maybe you're thinking, like, what in the world are they doing on stage during worship? It's way too loud. I don't know if those words are deep enough. Listen, they're not theological enough. You know, I am God's gift to theology. And so, I'm sorry, I got stuff all in my mouth. And so, listen, so the big picture is you've got this mask of being religious, and really, if we really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, really, deep down inside, you got all kinds of struggles and sins that you deal with on a regular basis, but you can't let anybody in because you've already got a mask on that everybody already thinks you're too religious. That, man, that guy's already got it all together, when in reality, you need to pull your mask off, get real with the rest of us, and be authentic, because authentic people are the ones that can change the world. Yeah. Not super self-righteous people. As a matter of fact, you make people twice the sons of hell. That's what the Bible says. Because nobody likes religiosity. People love relationship. And that's who God's called us to be. So let me put my dead animal over here. The other mask is the success mask. I am successful. By the way, this is Tom Brady, if you can't tell. Zombie Tom Brady, because we cut his eyes out. Tom Brady is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And so, you know, this is the success mask. You know, I've got it all together. I live behind my accomplishments. I hide behind my money. I hide behind my degrees. Man, I've got everything going right in my life. And listen, you can't let it go if somebody says something that's not completely factual. You just got to let them know. Now, that's not completely factual. And so you come in with your high style and your mask of successful living, when in reality, if we really got to know you and you took your mask off, there's a great possibility that you're in debt up to your eyeballs. You just want people to see that you're successful. And if we really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, when you take your mask off, see you, Tom. Listen, I just cut his head off. Listen, that didn't sound good. Whenever it comes to a place of being successful, you really, really, because you got your mask on, you need approval and accolades from other people. And so when you live that way, you can never be authentic. How about this mask? How about the mask of the funny guy? I'm the funny guy. I want everybody to love me. I'm the center of my attention. Are you gonna cut it? Listen, because I feel stupid right now. Listen. And the Hitler mustache is all up in my nostrils, real nostrils right now. Listen, so you're the funny guy. You're the guy that loves the attention. You're in the middle of everything. Everybody look at me. Everybody, you know, he's the one that everybody thinks is hilarious. He's the guy that's the life of the party. I still got beard on my forehead. Listen, he thinks that, you know, everybody thinks this guy's got it all together, the funny guy. But in reality, if you really got to know the funny guy, The reason why he puts on a front of being funny, which by the way, is nothing wrong with being funny because I try to be funny at times. But honestly, this guy might be me. I might put this mask on too at times. The reason why is because he wants everybody to think he's got it all together. But in reality, if you really got to know him, he's really a lonely guy or a lonely girl. And honestly, if you really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, he's really, or she is, really struggling with depression but won't let anybody in. Listen, there's nothing wrong with funny. One of my favorite things in the world to do is to make people laugh. All right? Sometimes it works, sometimes it goes over like a pregnant pole vaulter. But here's the big picture is this. Is I think about people like Robin Williams. I think about people like Chris Farley, who when you look at them, they are the life of the party. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Chris Farley dies of an overdose. Robin Williams, not good. When you look at them, boy, they look like they got it all together, but whenever you get into their life and you hear the stories of their family that really, really knew them deep and inside, they were incredibly lonely people. And they struggled with depression every single day. And if that's you today and you try to cover it by being the funny guy, you need to take your mask off. Let somebody in so that you can gain some healing in your life. Let's look at this mask. How about this mask? Hang on. Here we go. See if this is some of y'all. The angry mask. This is all we could come up with for an angry mask. I'm sorry. Don't look very angry to me. Listen, it's amazing that anger, man, got that tough exterior, you're kind of callous. Honestly, you fly off the handle, you tell people off. You love to look intimidating on purpose because you know what? I'm never going to get hurt again. And before somebody can punch me, I'm going to punch them. But in reality, let's get down to the nitty gritty. The reason why you wear your angry mask, if we could just crawl up inside of you and get to know you real well, the reason why that is because really you're super, super duper insecure. And so you try to put on a front like you're tough, but in reality, you're weak. You're not tough. Now, you might be able to scrap with the best of them, you know, get some scars on your knuckles. But the big picture is, that doesn't make you tough. That makes you weak. And you're missing out on, honestly, what freedom looks like in life. God didn't create you to live in anger the rest of your life. You know what it also reveals? When you have the angry mask on, it reveals really that you're a lonely person because nobody likes hanging around angry people. Nobody likes hanging around people that's going to fly off the handle at any moment. Let's look at this next one. Oh, this is a good one. I think this could be a lot of us right here. The clone, the stormtrooper. I am the clone. We talked about that just a second ago. Listen, by the way, stormtroopers, I have nightmares about those guys all the time. That's another weird fear I have. Is stormtroopers because they all look alike and they're scary looking. And I want them to take their mask off so I can see who's really under there. But listen, it's amazing how a lot of us have this clone mask that we wear. You know, when I think about clone, I think about when I was in junior high. And in high school, I always tried to look like everybody else. I wanted to wear the same sneakers or tennis shoes or however you say them these days. I wanted to wear the same blue jeans. I wanted to wear the same jacket. I wanted to be like everybody else. And it's amazing in high school and stuff and in junior high how everybody's kind of cloned. Everybody looks the same. But in reality, there's a lot of things that happen. You know, I can remember whenever I was in high school, how many of you are 80s protégés in here? Protégés, throw your 80s people. Listen, this is probably not going to make sense to a lot of you. In the 80s, when I was in junior high, what was popular were these things called parachute pants. All right, who remembers parachute pants? Throw your hands up. Oh, we got the old, I thought the old crew came to the first service. Listen, we all there, baby, come on. How many have never heard of parachute pants? Throw your hands up. Google it today in Jesus' name. We bringing them back, Coleman, Alabama. You listen, you think my skinny jeans are tight? You ain't seen nothing. You had to jump off the roof to get in those things, baby. They look like vinyl. They look like a tent, all right? Something that you make out of a tent. Had pockets all over them. And the tighter they were, the cooler you were, all right? And boy, I thought they were the coolest things, and everybody wanted a pair of shoe pads. There's also these things called Z-Cavariches. Anybody remember Z-Cavariches? Come on. Who's never heard of Z-Cavariches? Throw your hands up, all right? If you were old like me, then you were poor like I was, because I couldn't afford parachute pants or Z-Cavariches. I had to wear Husky pants with pads on the knees and stuff. And I was really embarrassed, but I wasn't cool. Now, here's the deal. Like, I can remember, like, anybody that wore those were just, like, really, really cool, and everybody wanted parachute pants, Z-Cavariches. Somebody told me after the service, oh, you forgot the Jordache. You remember the Jordache? Who remember Jordache? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on. How about the Velcro wallets that you pop open and all the dudes? You know what I'm talking about. Look, we going back in time. We finna start playing some hairband stuff right now. Listen. But it's amazing how, you know, in high school, I wanted to be like everybody else. And even today, it still even bleeds into today, junior high and high school kids, man, if I could just be like the popular crowd, if I could just be like everybody else, and all the adults in the room, like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, those junior high kids, I remember those days. You know, that's crazy, those high school kids, but yet adults do the same thing, don't even realize it. We just transferred it because we go and buy boats like everybody else. We want to buy houses like everybody else. We want the white picket fence like everybody else. We want cars like everybody else, no matter how much debt we get in. So don't act like it's just junior high kids. We all wear the clone mask. And I think it's very, very prevalent. That happens a lot. Uh-oh, how about this one? Don't let me scare you, okay? Now look, it's Andy, I'm in here, okay? Look,
here you go.
The fear mask. Listen, the fear mask. We all walk around pushing people away. We try to stay away from people getting to know who we really are, because honestly, we don't want to ever get hurt again. So we wear our fear mask, and honestly, we walk in paranoia thinking everybody's talking about, I need to quit that, because there's some kids. It's to me, kids. It's Andy. It's Pastor. It's PA. It's Brother Andy. Listen, here I am. Listen. And so we wear this mask of fear. Nobody knows we struggle with fear, but I'd step out and say most everybody in this room, some way, form, or fashion, wears the fear mask. But you don't let anybody into your fears because you're scared to death. You really think you're the only one that deals with fear. Here's a good one. How about this one? We're just gonna get risky. Hey, listen, hang on. How about the sex appeal mask? Just in time for Mardi Gras. There's feathers. I hope I'm not allergic. My neck is itching so bad from last service. Listen, my wife is incredibly proud of me. This is one of those proud moments for my wife. Just, don't you love me, Shug? Listen, come on. Listen. She says, you need to wear that more often, baby. Look good. Ain't that right? You say that, ain't you? Shut up. You are too. Everybody's looking at you. Listen. Sex appeal. It's amazing what girls especially will wear so they can get people to look at them. They want compliments from guys, and guys do the same thing. Don't act like guys ain't out of that. You know, I think about like social media. Everybody puts their best on social media. You know what I'm talking about? Like, nobody's gonna put, when they first wake up in the morning, their hair looks like a witch, looks crazy. Dudes, look, when I wake up in the morning, I got more wrinkles in the morning than I do in the afternoon because when I wake up, I don't have my olive oil on. Then I put it on and then I look halfway decent. But the big picture is everybody puts their best on social media. And the big picture is that we all start comparing ourselves with everybody else's best. We got our best duck face. Like, you know what I'm saying? Gotta get my duck face. I thought duck faces were just for girls. Listen, I went into the gym the other day. There was a dude standing in the back there, okay, like in the dressing room, and he was doing this number right here, flexing, and had his camera out. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing, dude? He said, I'm taking a selfie, man. Like, whoa, that stuff we used to make fun of. He had his duck face, and there's another thing I don't understand with the selfie portraits that people take. What's up with the hip, like right here, like you got your hand, it's got to be perfect. All the girls, I just got a spasm in my back in Jesus' name. I need somebody to help. That hurt. Listen, y'all have hip off. Like, what is it? Like, you got to put it right here. By the way, I'm just gonna confess something to you. At my house, I got to take this off. I got a bird all around my neck. Listen. My wife and my daughter make fun of me every Sunday. Like, Andy, you stand like this every Sunday and you do not stop. And I'm like, y'all ain't gonna listen to my message anymore. And so I'm trying to figure out how to stand better. so that y'all will, they won't come home and hammer me. But it's amazing, sex, but you want people to look at you. You find your identity by how many followers you have on Instagram. Your identity, high school and junior high students and adults, is found in how many likes that you got on a picture that you think is going to gain a lot of likes. Yeah. Your identity is found in how many compliments you get over something that you wear from the opposite sex. And the big picture is God's not called you to walk in that kind of stuff. He's not called you to walk in that kind of identity. Your identity is not found in how many followers you have and how many likes you got and how many compliments you get. Your identity is found only in Christ. And whenever you understand the beauty of your identity being found in Christ, you don't have to look sexy for everybody to compliment you. You can be you who God's called you to be. I bet you don't hear sexy very much in church, do you? Listen. And never again, because I ain't coming back here, bless God. Listen. This is for you. Listen. Everything's all right, math, baby. How you doing? I'm great, wonderful, blessed, and highly favored, bless God. How are you doing? The family's great. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Could y'all hear anything I just said? Listen, it's amazing how many of us put on the mask of everything's great. Woo! How you? Woo! Ric Flair. Woo! We happy. We good. How you doing? Oh, I'm great. No, you're not. You're not great. Let us know who you are. Once you take your everything great's mask off. Listen. All the people that think that everything's great, everything wonderful, there's a but to that. But you never let anybody in to see your real struggles with despair and different things going on in your life. Because you put your mask on wanting everybody to think that I'm okay. Listen, the reason why we hide behind these masks is because somewhere along the way in our life, we bought into this lie of the enemy that we as ourselves are not enough. That I am not enough for me to be successful, for me to be popular, for me to be known, I gotta be other people. Now listen, here's what happens with a lot of people in this room right here. Honestly, with all of us, we just kind of swap our mask around. We just kind of pass it off to the next person and put our own mask on and then put another mask on. And it's amazing how some of us might identify with one of these masks, but probably at times we're all of these masks. Which reveals a lot what's going on inside, which reveals that the only way that you can really get healed, and we'll see some of that just in a scripture in just a second, is whenever we let real people, relationships, people into our lives that will help us, along with God, walk through this world that produces trials and tribulations. So what happens is we cover up the real us and we put on masks. Because when we put on masks, boy, we feel like we are in control of other people's perception of us. And I put on a mask that I feel like people will accept me with. When in reality, it doesn't matter if anybody accepts you. What matters is that God accepts you. And because God accepts me, I will walk in confidence and I'm going to take my mask off and I'm going to be who God's called me to be. You know, it's amazing how often we come to church with our mask on. Hey, it's amazing that church is probably the number one place that most of us wear our mask. Because, at church? That's where we're supposed to be perfect. That's where we're supposed to have it all together. The only person that's ever had it all together is Jesus. Yeah. Listen, if you ever find a church that is perfect, you are in the wrong church. Because there's no such thing as a perfect church. We all need a perfect Savior. We all need Jesus. And what Jesus does is he tries to start peeling us back like a Vidalia onion. He starts to pull those masks back. He wants to pull them off so that honestly his glory can be seen through us. You ever read the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 where it says he pulls the veil back so his glory can be seen? Yeah, that's good, yeah. There's a whole story behind that. We'll talk about that another day. You know, I'll be honest with you. I tell people all the time, I kind of say it tongue in cheek, but I'm also really, really serious. Also, when I go out in public, I really do try to go as an undercover pastor. I don't want anybody to know I'm a pastor. Because as soon as people find out I'm a pastor, they will immediately start pulling every single mask they got, shoving it on. Like they could be dropping F-bombs and drinking and partying and like, oh God, it's the pastor! Bless God, I was reading in the King James this morning. God just spoke to me right out of Leviticus, man. It was incredible. Man, I was on the front row, son, the best worship song I ever heard. Like, wow, just be you. Please, please, be you around me. I'm going to do everything I can as much as possible to be me around you. From stage or in person, I'm going to try my best. I would much rather be around somebody that's authentic. I'll be honest with you. A lot of times, it's a lot more fun hanging around with lost people than it is believers. Because most lost people, they cool with it. Like, I'm just me. I'm going to do this. Bless God, this is who I am. I ain't going to go to church like when I'm hypocrites. I ain't going to be me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Bless God, I'm just going to be me. Which, by the way, I'm not saying drink and drawing for all the way. Like, bless God, what's he saying? That's another message. Don't judge me in Jesus' name. I'm going to get the mask. I'm going to get it. Listen, hear me. God's not called us to walk in masks, not to walk with masks on. As long as you wear a mask, you will never experience relationships to the fullest in the way God meant for us to have them. Ever. Listen, you know, one thing that we push here, today we are signing up for small groups. Because, listen, church is not a man standing on stage preaching. That's just not the only aspect. It's not a worship band standing up here and you coming listening and then leaving. Church is about relationships with each other. And if you're not building relationships with the family of God, then you really need to get in a small group, because large churches, the way that you make it small is you make it small through small groups. And we need you there. We want you there, because that's where you really grow spiritually, is in small groups. And we start those today. But here's the deal. You'll never get out of a small group what God desires you to get out of small groups if you wear a mask. You will never experience real life change if you don't get in small groups. Why? Because it's the friends inside the small groups that you meet, the relationships, that's going to help you become stronger with God. Even more than a message. Listen, we believe at Desperation Church that real friendship begins when the mask is off and you can just be you. And I really hope that's us. That's who I want to be. I want us to be that so bad that you can just be you. And then let God change you into who he wants you to be. You know, C.S. Lewis said this, which I thought was really cool. He says, friendship, I think this is all of us. This is great. Friendship is born at the moment when one man says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Hey, isn't it crazy how we think we're the only one that struggles with what we're struggling with, when in reality, you got a room full of people that struggle with the same things you struggle with. It's called the sinful nature. It's called depravity. It may not be the exact same sin, but it's the same place where it comes from. And we need each other. Listen, there are four things that I'm going to give you really, really quick that we believe are found in every godly relationship. And honestly, these things are things that you can apply to not just your friendships, but your marriage and your dating life also. You can apply this to your church friendships, your marriage, your date life, your coworkers. I think you can apply this to everything in your life. Here's what real friends look like. This is what we're looking for. This is what you should be looking for. Is you need to find somebody, number one, to connect with. To connect. After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan. This is 1 Samuel 18:1-4. He met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Now listen to verse 4. This is large. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. So they created this bond, those two. It doesn't use anybody else in Scripture having that kind of bond with David. That these two connected stronger than anybody else. They're probably one of the strongest friendships that we'll ever read about in the Bible. They were connected in a covenant friendship, a covenant relationship. Now, the thing I want you to see in verse 4 is that Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe, which is significant, and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. Here's what Jonathan did. Jonathan laid down his selfish ambition. He laid down his selfishness. Here's why. When he took off his robe, basically what he was saying to David was, I see the hand of God on you. And because I see the hand of God on you, I know that you're going to be the next king, not me. See, Jonathan was in line to be the next king because he was Saul's son. And he recognized, David, you're going to be the next king, so I'm laying my robe down in front of you. He took his sword, his bow, and his belt and laid it down in front of David and said, I will not lead the armies of God in this nation, in this city, but you will. And he lays it down in front of him. He laid down his ambition, his selfish ambition. He laid down his life for David. You know, how often do you look at people who are believers inside this church and look at them and see the hand of God on them and you lay your life down for them? Because honestly, I believe personally that if you're a follower of Christ, the hand of God is on you and God is calling you to live out who God's called you to be. But God needs somebody like in this room, you, to go and call, to go and be that Jonathan to somebody else. I see the hand of God in your life and I'm gonna be your friend and I'm gonna be lay down my selfish ambition. I'm gonna befriend you and we're gonna walk together throughout this life. And I want God to use me in your life. The second thing that we see, not only do real friends connect, real friends protect. You know, two people who protect each other. The friendship protect is a safe place. Whatever you share with me won't leave me. I've got you back and I always will. Two people who will die for each other. This is what the Bible says in John 15:13. It says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. Can I throw this out there to you? If you've got somebody that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt has got your back, behind your back and to your face has got your back. I said it last week. We were talking about this last week. A safe place. A safe person. You know you got somebody in your life that will lay down. You found a jewel. We talked about how you found a treasure. A safe place. Somebody who is a treasure. And you need to hang on to them as friends and do everything you can to make that friendship tight-knit. Because those are hard to find. You know, I can remember in my lost days, my pre-Jesus days, we used to go to some wild places, some crazy places where there's some crazy people. And I can remember my boys who probably didn't know Christ then. I remember they'd always say things like, hey, listen, hey, Andy, if something ever goes down, I got you back. I got you back, boy. In other words, like, if it comes to fisticuffs, I got you back. Now, here's the big picture. We would have got killed because my boys would look like pencils. They turn sideways, stick their tongue out, they look like a zipper. All right, we would have got killed. But here's one thing I know for a fact is those boys had my back, and that was the truth. I believed them. I knew it, and I had theirs. Now, we'd have got killed. We'd have been bloody. It'd have been a bad deal. But I knew for a fact they had my back. I could trust Danny and TW and Chris and all these boys. And can I tell you what I think is scary at times? Is that there's a place where a lot of times you wonder if you could trust your guys who was lost in the world more than you can people inside the church. Because I knew for a fact those boys, they had my back. Those kind of people are hard to find. They're hard to find. A friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in time of need, Proverbs 17:7. A friend is loyal. I got you. I'm safe. I got you back. The third thing I would say is that real friends, they connect, they protect, and they pray. You know how you can get somebody's back? You know how you can protect people? You could pray for them. Pray for them. Listen to what the Bible says. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. It's not saying broadcast it to everybody. It says find a friend. Confess it to other people that you can trust. Why? Because for the purpose of it healing you from the inside out, allowing somebody that you trust to walk with you through your struggles and understanding that everybody struggles with certain areas. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for your areas of struggle. I'm praying for you right now. There's nothing greater than knowing I've got a brother and sister in Christ who loves me enough that not only are they going to pray for themselves, they're going to pray for me as much as they do for themselves. That's good. Because you're a true friend. You're a true relationship. I got you back. I love you. I'm praying for you on a regular basis. Listen, the reason you protect your friend and your friendship, the reason why it's a safe place is so that you can really pray. You know, I'm talking about really praying. I'm not talking about these vague prayer requests. Like, hey, brother, what can I pray for you for? Something vague like, hey, pray for my family, pray for my job, pray. It's amazing how vague most of us are because we want to keep our mask on. When in reality, when we find a true brother, a true sister in Christ that wants to get our back in prayer, we can get honest with them because we can trust them and we can tell them, like, hey, I'll be honest with you, this week I've been struggling with some serious depression. Hey, would you pray for me? I've got this sexual temptation that is larger than I can explain. Hey, I need you to pray for me. I've not been the greatest mom in the world. I've not been the greatest wife in the world. And man, I need God to give me strength in those moments where it's difficult. Hey, I've not been the best dad. I need you to pray for me. We take our mask off and we just get real with each other. And I'll be honest with you, it's going to take a while to find that in a lot of people. That's why I say you need to get in a small group so you can find that person. Let me talk to the men for just a minute. You know, small groups are scary for men because it sounds like me standing up here telling you, like, man, we're just all going to get emotional and we're going to weep and we're going to cry and we're just going to get all our stuff out there on the table, man. Get in touch with the feminine side because only women do that. But in reality, men probably wear the most masks more than anybody. Man, I gotta put on, like, man, I'm tough. Man, I can't let nobody see my weakness. No, that's weak. That's really weakness. Now listen, I'm not saying sit around a table in a small group and just cry with brothers in Christ. I'm just talking about just going out and getting to know somebody so that eventually, maybe 3 years down the road, maybe 3 weeks down the road, maybe 3 months down the road, it just depends on when the bond starts, that you really connect with somebody who you know loves you and has got you back. You know what we really want to do in small groups with men? That's why I think men need to join small groups, because we want inside these men small groups is to pull the leadership out of you, because God's called you to be a leader.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
He's raised you up. Now women too, women are leaders also, but we need men to lead. And we want the leadership drawn out of people. We don't want the tears drawn out of people, but I'll be honest with you, don't let this scare you away. The more you get in tune with other people who are other men who you can laugh with, joke with, have man talk with, cut up with, all these kind of, when you get there, there's going to be a time eventually where you let them know, this is who I am and I want free from this, because you built a relationship with them. But you can't build a relationship with them with your facade and your mask. Hey, while I'm on this point, let me go to another side. One thing that drives me crazy, and I've been hearing this ever since I've been in ministry. I actually miss this. I meant to talk about this when I was talking about Jonathan and David, because they had a bond. One thing that drives me crazy about church people, about church, about us, I'm a church people too. I've been hearing this as I was in singles ministry. I led high school ministry, junior high ministry, college ministry, and now I'm a pastor. And every ministry, and being a pastor also, every church, it's amazing how often I hear people use the excuse of why they're not going to church as this. Man, that church is just full of a bunch of cliques. What was that? Somebody's got their Facebook Live. How y'all doing? Good to see you, buddy. Listen, it's just a bunch of cliques. Let me help you understand what cliques are. A clique is somebody that's got a group of people that will not let you out, let you into their group. Like, this is R4, no more, holy huddle. You cannot come into our group. But I would say 99% of the people don't think like that. I think anybody would let you into their group. But here's what I've learned over the years, is that there are people who have common interest. There are people who bond together differently. Listen. People bond together differently than other people. And the one thing I need you to understand is you're not going to connect with everybody, but we all need to connect with somebody. Not everybody's going to connect with, you're not going to connect with everybody. And here's what it reveals. When you start calling out cliques, what happens is there's a great possibility, because these people have no clue that you want to be in this, you know, this group, that you're sitting over here looking at them thinking like, well, bless God, they've just not invited me to their group. They're just a bunch of cliques over there. When in reality, you never took the effort to go and introduce yourself to people. You're just sitting back waiting on them to invite you in. What it really reveals is your insecurity. Yeah. Because here's what I need you to understand, is that if you want to go with a clique direction, Jesus had a clique. Yeah. It was called the 12 disciples. And how about this? Let me just throw you another curveball. Inside that 12, there was 3 that knew more about Jesus than the other 9. that went places with Jesus that the other nine did not. So if you're gonna call these kind of things common interest group places to whatever, if you're gonna call these cliques, then you might as well just call Jesus a part of a clique also. Because he bonded with different people. You're going to bond with different people that I'm not going to bond with. We need each other. It may look different than other places. Now, are there those that just stick their hands out like, you can't come into this group? Yeah, but they're wrong. Those are the ones wrong. But most people aren't like that. Your insecurity is just beaming when you say that kind of stuff. You've got 100-something small groups you can dive into right now. And there's somebody there that you're going to connect with. And if you don't connect with somebody in that small group, then guess what you need to do? You need to go the next semester to another small group. If you went 3 years ago and was like, I ain't going back, I didn't connect with nobody. Well, then you ain't giving it enough try. There's enough people, enough small groups that you can connect with somebody that could eventually be as tight as Jonathan and David with you. You just got to give it a shot. The last thing is real friends push. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Proverbs 27:17. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Can I ask you a question? Do you motivate, do you push, do you motivate your friends to follow Jesus like never before? And do your friends push you closer to Jesus? Yeah. See, that's a true friend. Somebody's going to push you. You know what a true friend is? Is this, is that they can tell you all the great things about you, but they can also, this is a true friend, the Bible even talks about it in Proverbs, is somebody that can give you your blind spots that you can't see, but they can see. But because you have such a tight-knit relationship with them, they can speak constructive criticism into your life because they love you and want to make you better. They push you closer to Jesus. What kind of friends do you have in your life? I know this. When I first gave my life to Jesus Christ, I had a guy named Danny and I had a guy named Troy that pushed me to be more like Jesus every day. I'm blessed to have people like David Jett in my life today, Lane Schrantz in my life today, our staff in my life today who will push me to be more like Jesus. And some of you. I can remember Danny and Troy. I remember when I first got saved. We were just hungry for Jesus. We just wanted to go where Jesus was, which he's everywhere, by the way. We just wanted to go where he's at. So we started a prayer group, me, Danny, and Troy. Now, that's a little weird, but the thing about it is they love Jesus. That was weird to me because I just come straight out of the world. I'm like, man, these dudes are like, whoa, I never seen anybody like these guys. I want to get around them a little bit more. And so we'd go to Danny's apartment. We were all single guys on Thursday nights, and we would have prayer group. We'd have prayer time. And we would all lay on the floor in his apartment, and we would pray. And so Troy came up with an idea. I said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go around and we're going to pray what God lays on our heart. We're going to pray. All of us going to pray. Now, look, I'm a brand new believer. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, not me. I am not praying out loud. Ain't no way that's happening. And they were like, shut up, Andy. Like, you ain't talking to us. We ain't going to judge your prayer. You're talking to Jesus. You're talking to God. Just talk to him like you're talking to one of us. They said, it ain't like God sitting up in heaven with a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst. Like, well, bless God, I'd give that about a 2.5. I mean, that was, you know, that sentence, okay, that kind of made me give me a few little goosebumps. I might move that up to a 6 right there. Listen, God's just glad you're having conversation with him. And these boys pushed me and taught me how to pray. And now I can pray in front of anybody. I'm praying in front of the President of the United States. Some of y'all are like, man, they need some prayer. Pray, brother. But what I'm saying is because of two guys named Troy and Danny, they pushed me. I grew in my walk with God because I got around these guys and all we did was talk about Jesus. And all they did was push me to be more like Jesus. All of us in this room, that's a real friend. They pushed me to take my mask off. They pushed me to be authentic because authenticity is powerful. Real friends push each other. Listen, not only applies to our friendship, but applies to our marriages and our dating life. Real friends connect, they protect, they pray, they push. And the truth is, as long as you wear masks, we will never experience any of these things. So what happens is we end up trading connections for acquaintances, protection for surface level conversations, specific prayer for vague prayer. And in the end, we stay the same and are never pushed to be everything we could be in life, all because we choose to wear a mask. And I want you to hear me. I want to tell you that Desperation Church is a place that we want you to take your mask off. It's a place where you can, where it's okay not to be okay, because I don't know anybody that's truly 100% okay. I'm hoping and praying that our church is a place where it's okay not to be okay. That's why I think it's so important that you get into small groups, get around other people to realize, like, what? Yeah, I thought I was the only one to struggle with that. That's why you need to get in there. Yeah. This is church a place that you go, or is church a place where you connect with God and people? Listen, if you walk in and then you walk out only to say hey to the greeters and the parking lot guys, why is that? Who do you know here? If it's no one, then it's time to get to know people. We're signing up. You can go to the info bar today. Sign up for us. Sign. Do something. Listen, Jesus said a lot about relationships. He says, love one another just as I have loved you. Forgive one another just as your Father in heaven has forgiven you. Our relationships are literal windows into heaven so that other people can see Jesus in us. Do people, when they see you, see Jesus in your relationships? Why? Because we know Jesus is not fake. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I try my best. I know I look goofy in those masks and stuff, but whatever it takes to connect with people, hopefully you'll remember this. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I want to do everything I can to be as authentic as possible from the stage. So sometimes I'm a little bit too authentic. To where I want to be the same person here as I am out there. Don't want to be anybody different. And I'm hoping that sometimes whenever I share my struggles and my off, you know, just trying to get authentic with you, I'm hoping that it sets you free to take your mask off. And listen, I still got masks that I still leave on at times. But I got people in my life that help me take them off. And you need them too. So why don't we do that together, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you.